This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and it is Monday morning. Time for a look at New Hampshire politics, and NHPR's Josh Rogers is here to discuss developments on New Hampshire's political front. Good morning, Josh.
Hi, Rick.
Josh, it's been a quiet couple of weeks since Governor Hassan vetoed the state budget. Very quiet weeks if the measure is true progress towards a budget deal, but it's been very loud ones in terms of the partisan rhetoric about the budget. I mean, is it fair to claim the relationship between New Hampshire's Democratic governor and, of course, Republican legislative leaders is actually getting worse?
Well, based on the public comment, and most of this has come via press release and letters that have been released, it would seem so. And so, you know, but how much of this is real and how much of this is wind isn't entirely clear at this point. But the finger pointing, charges and counter charges from Democrats and Republicans, and much of this is being generated by the political parties, is pretty bad. And it does show, I think, the extent to which this fight has become so much about 2016. You have Republicans in the State House and outside the State House claiming Governor Hassan's whole approach to the budget is about her 2016 ambitions, including, of course, a possible U.S. Senate run against Kelly Ayotte. And then you have Democrats, and again, the party is really leading the charge on this one, going so far as to claim that Kelly Ayotte or her political folks are helping to drive this fight.
Mm-hmm. Now, we should mention, by the way, that Governor Hassan will be a guest on The Exchange beginning at 9 o'clock this morning with NHPR's Laura Kanoy. Both political parties have been wielding a right to no request to make their cases and their arguments here.
Yes. I mean, the GOP sought emails from the governor's office in an effort to reveal that Hassan and her staff might have been in touch with U.S. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, who's been reported very much wants Governor Hassan to challenge Kelly Ayotte. The Democratic Party, meanwhile, sought emails from legislative leaders. They were out to show Kelly Ayotte or her political backers had been in touch during the budget fight. So, you know, if there's any illusion that the budget impasse would become depoliticized once lawmakers split Concord for the summer, it seems like think again.
But as you say, most of this is coming from the state Democratic and Republican parties. It's not from inside the State House.
Sure, and it will be interesting to hear what Governor Hassan has to say when she's on The Exchange. But I think it's fair to observe that the longer this goes on, the harder it may end up being to separate the policy differences between the governor and Republicans. And there are real policy differences on business taxes and on how to handle Medicaid expansion, for instance, from everybody's 2016 ambitions. And in a presidential year, everybody includes a lot of people in Washington, the moneyed backers of both parties, and even presidential candidates. Shortly after the veto, for instance, I was at a Marco Rubio campaign stop, and Rubio was introduced to a few people in the crowd. They told him they were state senators, and Rubio immediately started talking to them about how horrible it was that their fine budget had been vetoed. These senators were actually from Massachusetts. This event was in Salem. But the point is, this fight isn't taking place in a vacuum, and while everyone involved, the governor and Republican lawmakers, will say they're standing on principle, et cetera, this really isn't a political atmosphere terribly conducive to compromise, at least so far.
Speaking of the presidential race, Josh, voters here are getting plenty of attention.
Yes, last week was quite busy. Carly Fiorina was pretty much here the whole time. Martin O'Malley was here. So was fellow Democrat Lincoln Chafee, Jeb Bush, Ben Carson, Lindsey Graham, John Kasich were here. Kasich's visit continues today. Scott Walker, who spent much more time in Iowa, returns later this week after he formally gets into this race. Chris Christie, who's been here a bunch, returns, as does Donald Trump. And so, too, I understand, will Hillary Clinton.
For the Republican voter, by the way, even the most dutiful, I mean, the size of this field has got to be just overwhelming.
I think it is. And for true GOP loyalists, going to all the events you might get invited to is an actual burden. I talked to one couple very active in the GOP over the weekend who told me they actually had to reschedule the celebration of their wedding anniversary because they were overbooked with politics. You know, one thing I like to ask more casual Republican voters who show up at events is, can they even name all the people running? And, you know, some can, but many can't. And one thing is interesting, and it may be simply a measure of the field size, is that, you know, in every primary, you have a candidate or two, rarely by choice, I might add, who traverses the state and essentially tells voters, New Hampshire is where I'll make my stand, that New Hampshire is do or die. Sometimes that works out reasonably well, think John McCain. Other times it doesn't, think John Huntsman. Mm-hmm. But this year you've got maybe a half dozen of these folks who are in that position. Some may not last all the way through till next February when the voting will take place here, but we're certainly going to be seeing a lot of them in the meantime.
Yeah, always very busy. Thanks, Josh.
You're welcome, Rick.
That is Josh Rogers, NHPR's senior political reporter. He joins Morning Edition often to talk politics. By the way, you can follow Josh on Twitter. It's at Josh Rogers, NHPR.